I think I got a good word from God for us today that's very, very fitting for where we're at. And as I was praying about that word on the way here, man, I got hit in the spirit. It's so cool because when the Holy Spirit in me gets excited, He forgets my personality and He has a really good time getting excited, you know? I like getting to feel that now and then. It's so different from my laid-back calmness. We're going to talk about today, what can I do? So God, we just ask You to anoint Your word and breathe life. We get in a lot of situations, we just don't know what to do. And I know this thing that's going on with Brittany's baby, we're all aware that the baby's been on life support. They've even gone to the point of saying, pull life support, let her die, there's no hope. Then that little baby clicks and comes back alive again. So I kept thinking, because I went up there last Sunday, and when I went up for Emelina and I asked God, what are You doing? He told me, this baby will not die. She's going to live. I'm going to heal her. And I could confidently say that. But going up there for Brittany, I could hug her. I could pray comfort. But I kept saying, God, I don't have a word from You. You're not telling me what You're doing. Why don't You tell me? What can I do? How should I pray? Because, see, I don't want to pray my will. I don't want to tell God He needs to do what I'm asking Him to do. I want to know what He's doing so I can declare it. Amen. Command ye the works of my hands. Well, if I don't know what they are, how do I command them? You need to tell me. Why aren't You telling me? Christ lives in me, and I want to release Christ in this situation. Why aren't You telling me? What can I do when I don't hear what God wants to do? What can I do? I think I have that answer this morning. So I'm excited about that. John 5:9. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also the Son likewise. Likewise, exactly the same. Jesus said He Himself could do nothing of Himself. You can do nothing of yourself. I can do nothing of myself. I can only do what I see God do. Jesus said, whatever I see the Father do, I do the exact same thing. That is John 5:19. When you question me, I start, uh-oh, did I do it again? I think I'm right this time. It is written. Oh, 19. So Jesus Himself, He lived a body. He lived in a body, but He lived in the flesh just like us. He had limited Himself to living as a man. He called Himself Son of Man because He chose not to use His God powers. He chose to live the example for us. And He said, so of Myself, I cannot do anything. I can do nothing. So what can you do? What can I do? Nothing. Except what we see the Father do. Right. And then we do exactly. You know, Jesus very, I don't know if you can find Him healing the same way twice. We see that we, as Christians, we like to get a format. How does this work? Call everybody up. Stand on the line. Put your hand on their forehead. Maybe we get really, you know, into God and say, where do I touch them? But we want to touch them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Did you ever see Him do that? One time He put mud in somebody's eye. He spit in the dirt, made mud and put it in somebody's eye. You know what? He saw the Father do that. So He did that and it worked. One time He said, lift this guy up and put him down in the water and he'll be healed. And it worked. He told a young girl to get up and she got up and lived again. Because He saw that's how the Father did it. So we have to see what God's doing, or all of our words mean nothing. We can do nothing if we don't see what the Father's doing. John 8:28. Say in 5, because we're going back there in a minute. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. But as the Father has taught Me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We're going to get more detailed on that. But notice that he said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. Now, what did he didn't say, when you have lifted up the God of glory, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. When you have exalted the life of Christ that he lived in the flesh as a man. When you see that. When you allow that life of Christ to live in you as a man. That's when you'll begin to see something. You have to see Christ in you living the same life he lived in his flesh. And we have to lift him up, exalt him. He said, you'll know that I am. And actually the word he was, it's in little parentheses because it wasn't there originally. He said, you will see that I am the great I am. He is the great I am. And that I do nothing of myself. Even Christ in the flesh said, I do nothing of myself in the flesh. I wait to see what the Father's doing. Now, while we're waiting to see what the Father's doing, he said, but I do speak the things he's taught me. Because sometimes I think, well, I guess we just stand here like a mute and don't say anything because I don't hear what God's saying, so I can't speak. No, he said, I do speak the things he has already taught me. There are things I can bring to you like God loves you, God has a purpose, all things work together for good. He will bring to your mind things that he's already taught you that you can say even while you don't know what to do to fix a problem. So you can speak what you've been taught. But we have to lift up Jesus. You know, we're gonna talk about these things. I'm giving you an overview right now. You can do nothing of yourself. But when you lift up the Son of Man. Then back in John 5:20, and we'll run you through some verses and we're going to break them down. John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son. There's a relationship. There's a family relationship required to see the power of God. When I was in the hospital, family spent the night. Family waited on me hand and foot. Family changed their entire life to be there. The ones at the hospital with the baby are family. They live there. They change their entire life to be there every moment because there is family type love. That's powerful because it takes that degree of love to really release that degree of God. He said, for the Father loves the Son. You need to be a son of God. You need to be born into his family in order to have the power of God inside of you. So because the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does and will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. If you are family in a relationship of love, God will show you what he's doing. 21. Don't get guilty about that yet, because I still don't have a word for the baby. And I'm okay with that now, because I'm going to give you that secret pretty soon. 21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, gave them life again, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Now that he will is not anyone the Son wants to quicken. He just told us, I do nothing of myself. The he will is God's will. He said, the Father raises the dead. He gives them life again. And so to me, his family, his son, whom he loves, the Father will give life through me to anyone that Father wills to give it to. He had a faith that God, his Father, could raise the dead and give life again to a dead body. Lazarus died from something. They never tell us what his disease was, but he had some kind of a disease that killed him. God not only raised his body, he had to repair it and heal that disease. It was a very powerful thing. Jesus went there knowing the Father was going to raise him, knowing because the Father had already shown him. Jesus didn't raise him by his power as Son of Man. He did it by the power of the Father within. Verse 30. I Jesus, can of my own self do nothing. Why? Because he had a restriction. God had made a rule. Jesus, you can't go do it. In the power of who you are, in the deity, you have to live like a simple man in the flesh. So I made a rule, you can't do this except through me. Nate, hold on. Let's get the mic heated up here.
Okay, so going back to the family thing, the first verse, I remember it was like, I don't know, 8 years ago. I had someone give me a word. Yeah. They said, God wants to flow in your life, but first you need to learn to be a son.
Yes. Amen.
So it was a correction for me.
Exactly.
But that pertains heavily, heavily to first you need to learn how to be a son.
Right.
And then we can move on.
Right.
Then you get, then the power flows through you, you know, the glory.
Because in relationship, God will share with you what he's doing. In relationship of love. Because relationship is the biggest thing that God wants. That's what he's after. So all these things going on are part of him developing a closer relationship with us. Verse 30. I, Jesus, can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. That is loaded. And we're going to take that apart in a minute. But he says, this is how I judge. Not by what I want to happen, but by what God said is going to happen. Then my faith can grab that because I know it's going to happen. Because it's what God said he's going to do. Now, I've believed that for a long time, and I'm still frustrated all the time because God won't tell me. I'm going, God, I'm laying down my life. And I'm only going to speak what you say. Now say something. Dead silent. I go, I don't get it. If I am willing to do whatever you want, speak whatever you say, why won't you talk to me? Why won't you simply tell me so I can speak out your will? I have been so frustrated over this baby on that issue because I'm willing to go up there and raise the dead. I'm willing to go up there and speak healing. I'm willing to go up there and speak death. I mean, not speak it, but accept. If he's taking her for a reason, to comfort the family, to accept it. God wouldn't tell me. Either way, he wouldn't tell me. So all I could do is pray his comfort and his love. So now we're going to take that apart. Point number one was lift up Christ. We have to lift up Christ. And the very first time, first way that you lift up Christ is salvation. You have to see him lifted up on that cross for your sin. Christ has to be lifted up as your Savior, because until he is, you're not family. John 8:28 says, when you lifted up the Son of God, then you will know that I am he. When you have lifted up that Christ on the cross as the perfect Lamb of God, sinless, taking your sin on him and paying your debt, then you're going to know he is God. An eternal life is to know him. When you lift him up on that cross, he will move inside your heart and you will meet God. You will personally know him. He will become your Father. Greatest day of my miserable life was the day I met him. I met him. And suddenly I had a Father. I had love. Beyond understanding. He is the great I am. He is God. Secondly, lifting up the Son. Every time that we're in something, we have to lift up Jesus to find out what he's doing in this thing. And if you can't find out what he's doing, when you cannot trace his hand, you trust his heart. You know who God is. If you're in that personal relationship with him as a son, the longer you walk with God and know God, you know the heart of God, and you understand the character of God, then you trust who he is when you can't understand what he's doing. I don't understand when my sister died. I don't understand when my baby died. I don't understand why, but I trust who God is, that he must have had his reasons. And you know, there's a verse that says, they considered not that he took them from the evil to come. Some people are rescued from the things that are about to happen here in this world. They're in heaven happy. We're down here bitter and griping because they went to heaven. Their only prayer is that you get over it so you could come to heaven with them. This relationship of love is the point. Whether it's accepting him at salvation or whether it's accepting his will in your life, whether it's getting to know him in a deeper way, it's the walking with him as your daddy. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can beg God all day long. You can be in a place, unsaved person, begging God all day long. You can be in that place as a saved person, begging God all day long. God, I've got to get to you and find out what you're doing. But you won't get there except through lifting up Christ. Lifting up Christ. We must come through Jesus. The next point after we lift up Jesus is to submit our will. We have to get past what we want God to do to find out what he is going to do. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. Get past what we want. Now, we can't get over what we want. We don't get over it. I want that baby to live. I want that baby to be perfectly healthy and live. No brain damage, no liver damage, no kidney dialysis. I want her to live in perfect health her entire life. That's what I want. I can't get over wanting that, but I can get past it. Into what do you want, God? I lay down what I want. I lay down my entire emotional will and say, not my will, but thine be done. Now, we have to do that. It's not just about that baby. It's about the things in your life you don't like. Brother Dan is doing what he doesn't like right now. He's taking care of his invalid mother. I love my mom with all my heart, but I did not like taking care of my mom for 2.5 years. And then I didn't like taking care of his mom for 2.5 years either. I didn't like it. I'm not a nurse. I don't want to do those things you have to do for invalid people. I love her. I want to hug her and give her a kiss and bring her flowers. I don't want to change diapers. I don't want to clean up puke. I am not a nurse. But I had to accept, not my will, God. This is your will for me, because you're forming Christ in me. This is your will for me right now. And I have to accept that by laying down what I want or don't want and saying, if this is going to form Christ in me, bring it on. If this is what I need in my life for you to get glory, bring it on. Now, you may not see how he's getting glory at the moment, but it is changing you. It is changing you somehow. It's changing you to learn how to lay your will down, if nothing else, and find his will and accept it. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat. Meat's for the mature. We're going to get to another verse about that later. Meat is for grown-up Christians to eat. It's not for babies. You're a grown-up Christian and harder things are happening to you because you're being served some meat. You want to get really strong in God, you've got to eat meat. You can't stay a little baby sucking a bottle of milk your whole life. You will be weak. You know, people who are 6 foot tall can't go around with their passies anymore. They got to get the knife out and cut some steak. Philippians. height level? I'm not going there. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But God, this isn't what you called me to do. You gave me a vision. You gave me a vision of preaching to thousands and millions and them getting saved, and now you're telling me to go clean toilets? That's not my call. Really? If you're not willing to clean toilets, you're not worthy to preach. You have to go through your training. Training's not easy. Why is it we will go to college to become a doctor or a lawyer? We'll put years and years and years, give up all our money, sacrifice our playtime, work hard, study hard, do the assignments they give us we hate, come to church to be trained as a minister, and the first time they say, I am appointing you to teach Sunday school for a while. I'm not teaching Sunday school. I don't like kids. I'm asking you to clean the church for a month. I'm not called to be the janitor. God said I'm a prophet. Some of the best prophets we've ever heard of are janitors because they stay in humility and they hear God. Training requires doing some things you don't want to do. And if you don't want to do some things you don't want to do, don't say you want to be trained. Because right. You will be given assignments you don't like. Right. And you will be held responsible to get it done. Accountable to be there on time. You don't have to come to church. God loves you. You don't have to be on time. You don't have to be in Sunday school. And you don't have to do anything. But if you really want to be a minister, that changes everything. There's training, and it's not always what you like. Harvey and I did so many things we didn't like. I don't like cleaning up puke and teaching kindergarten. You know what? I didn't want to teach 4- and 5-year-old kids all day, every day for 4 years. Once I did it because I cooperated, I loved them. But I didn't want to clean up when they lifted their little desk and threw up on all their books. I didn't want to do that. But it was part of the training. Thank God. Wasn't my whole future. Thank God it wasn't my whole future. God. But if it was, there would have been grace. Because he not only moves on you to will to do something, he gives you the power to do that something for the season that you're doing it. When we accept it. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. That word doctrine that time means instruction. You're not even going to know what he wants you to do unless you surrender to do it first. God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Then he'll tell you what it is. Not the other way around. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself, he that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and there's no unrighteousness. We do what we do obediently for his glory, not ours. But nobody will see me if I'm doing that. Good. Good place to be. Nobody else can see you but God. Good place to be. Because before he stands you, before people where you're seen, he's got to knock the pride out of you somehow. He's got to find out if you'll do it privately first. He's got to find out if you're really living for his glory or yours. That's why a novice can't be the pastor of a church. When Harvey and I first were told, you're going to be pastors, we're like, ooh, pastors, we're pastors, you know, honor and glory. No. We're going, we love our pastor, you know, everybody's going to love us. No. God makes sure everybody doesn't love you because he doesn't want you full of pride. He wants us meek and gentle and lowly like Jesus lived in the flesh. So if we have to do hard things all by ourselves with nobody looking but God, that's when he finds out, will you do it to please me and me alone? Or do you do it for the praise of men? Because you like to look good, feel good. And yet, God, we've laid all this down and we've accepted your will, whatever it might be, and we still don't know what you want. God, what can I do if you don't tell me? Here's one part of the answer. Maybe you're not the one he sent. That's the big revelation for me this morning. Maybe you are not the messenger this time. God has handicapped me. He's handicapped me physically. He's handicapped me even spiritually by not telling me the answer. So now what can I do? Colossians 1, 9 through 13. This is what we can do. For this cause, right now we have a cause of that baby. I'm going to keep using the baby because it's a current cause that we can all share. And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Who? The one he is sending. We're a corporate body of Christ. Which member of this body is he sending? Let's pray for that person. And there's a lot of people. We'll read more in a minute, but I just want to expound on that so you see it as we read. He has moved on Jennifer and Leida. They're on top of those updates. They're right there. Update comes, we got it. Those two are posting the updates. I'm actually getting Jennifer's on my personal page. Leida's posting, and it doesn't come through, but it's going through on the Burning Bush page. Those two are on top of updates. So, God, we lift them up and we pray for them to hear the updates and report. Now there's intercessors, probably them again. But he's not even moving on me with the knowledge of how to pray for life, for healing. How? Exactly. Mud in the eye, dip in the water? I don't know. But the other night, Brother Nate got stirred. He got so stirred, he couldn't let go of it. He could not let go. And he and a whole group of people that came together with him, they prayed and they stormed heaven and they could not let go because God said, do not let go of that life. So what do? We pray for Nate. We pray for that whole group, Leida, the whole group of people that was with Nate. We lift them up. God, show them what you're doing. Show them what you're doing. Give them the faith to pray it in. Give them, release your power through their prayers. Who's up there? I'm not up there every day. But Brittany and Brandon are, and Paula is, and Ashley, Paula's other daughter, came from wherever she lives, out of state. And you see pictures of her in there, touching and crying and loving. The people that are there, the family that is there, Paula is a messenger of God because Christ lives in her. Christ lives in Brittany. I don't know if Christ lives in Brandon yet. He's coming close. I'm not even sure about Ashley. But what I do know is those that are in that room, the love of God is there. And they are pouring it into that baby, and love is powerful. Love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death.
Yes.
And they have an extreme amount of compassion, constantly touching that child. Constantly. And that love is flowing in through them. So, now we don't pray for Nate to put hands on the baby and love the baby. We're praying for Nate to have the wisdom in prayer. We're praying for the family to have the power of love. It's a corporate move of God. And you can't stand there in our pride and selfishness saying, God should tell me exactly what to do so I could go deliver this life. No, I'm not getting it because I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to be not ceasing to pray for those that he is sending. Maybe you're not the sent one. We need to learn to accept that. Brother Harvey. Well, Nate's going to want it, so I'll just walk over here and let him speak into me.
He sent you and Janiyah and Mersada.
Yeah.
And y'all went and comforted them and loved them and helped to bring some light and some hope. Then another day, he sent me, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want? Because I'm saying all these things. I can believe for healing and all that. Just give me a word, and he's not giving it to me. But he said, here's what I want you to tell her. And he gave me a passage out of the scripture and said, this is what I want you to give.
Yeah.
And then I did that. They looked unto him. Their faces were lightened. And then God said, that's it. That's all I'm doing through you right now.
And then he sent Mersada again.
Right.
Because she has a testimony about Emelina that she can share.
Because
she has seen God move through long, long term through Emelina again and again.
Right.
Why not instantly? Because through these few years in Mersada's life, She has grown to depend on God again and again and again, one little step at a time to save her daughter. But it didn't just save her daughter, it saved Mirsada. She accepted Christ. She's so in love with Jesus now. And there's still more in her family to be brought in. He has his ways, he has his timing, and he has his sent ones. I love that. That's our revelation this morning. Let's be a corporate body. If he's not sending you, find out who he is sending and never cease to pray for them. Now let's look at that never cease to pray. Colossians 1, 9 through 13. For this cause, whatever our cause is, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pray that for the sent ones. And that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Keep getting more and more knowledge as you move forward, sent one. I'm praying that for you. I pray that you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There are those up there who need patience, long-suffering, and they need joy. Harvey took them some joy. God said, they need joy. Let me send Harvey in there. They need long-suffering. Let me send Mirsada in. She has suffered long. Let me flow through the parts of my body that I've done different things in, and you pray for them that they increase in that. Grow in the character of God, in unity, in team, in the corporate move of God. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet. That means prepared, qualified, and ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I love saints in light, carriers of his glory, taking the light of Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We need to live in the kingdom of God. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen. Jesus through us. And he chose to do it through all of us, not one of us. Keeps us humble. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. First, we want to praise God here and say, this same God who rose Jesus from the dead, get your faith up, realize who he is and what he can do, make you perfect, mature, and complete. He's trying to make you mature and complete in every good work to do his will. Man, take the guilt off. If you don't know his will, you're not the one to do it. Take off that guilt. Working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. If it's not you, please join the prayer team and pray for the one that it is. Through Jesus Christ, to whom is glory forever and ever. Jesus gets more honor through corporate than he does through one, because one becomes proud. The next point is we need to obey that will once we know what it is. Surrendering to his will. Hebrews 5, 8 through 14. Hebrews 5, 8 through 14. This is the point. Surrender to obey his will. Obey his will. One, lift up the Son of God. Submit your will. Find out what his will is.
Is that number three?
Yeah. Finding his will. Lift up Jesus. Surrender your will. Find out his will. And then obey. Be obedient. That's where we're going, obedience. Hebrews 5, 8 through 14. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus himself learned obedience. Wow. Do you know how he learned obedience? By suffering. First of all, we have God in the form of a baby, dependent on humans who are sinners to take care of him. Talk about, but my mom and dad were wrong. His mom and dad were probably wrong compared to him, like most all the time. And yet, he had to obey them. And sometimes that caused him to suffer. He was bullied by neighborhood kids. He was probably made fun of. Do you know a good kid who's not made fun of? They do what's right, and then the macho cool kids make fun of them. Sometimes he was punished when he didn't do anything wrong. They wrongly judged him. But he learned obedience by suffering. And so do we. So do we. Verse 9, and being made perfect, complete. Our sufferings are bringing us to maturity and completion in Christ. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all, to all them that obey him. We're living a gospel today because God is love, and he is. But we're living today in a church age where people think because God loves them, no matter what they do, he loves them. Pastor Harvey says it all the time. No matter what you do or don't do, he loves you. That's right. He loves everybody in hell, too. He loves them. But they don't fit in his kingdom. He loves you. But you need to obey him to please him. Verse 10. Obey him who was called. I didn't write that out right. He was God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. This is really hard. I didn't want to go this far. I did not want to write these next verses down and share them, but they also speak to me. We have many things to say about Jesus that are hard to be uttered. I mean, we like to talk about his love, his kindness, his goodness, his mercy, his healing, but there's some hard things to be said in training, and you have to suffer, and you have to obey, and you have to go through hard things. Sometimes you have to hear his will as something you don't like. Some things that are hard, and they're saying here, we want to tell you these things, but it's very difficult for us because you're not mature enough to hear them. Your ears are dull of hearing. You're not listening in the spirit. You're in your flesh. Therefore, you're defensive, you're angry, you're bitter, you're selfish, you're all these things. So it's very hard to talk to you. And I'm saying us. That's us. In the flesh, that's us. That's where we get sometimes. For when, verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. God is saying, for the time. You know that we're right at the edge of for the time. There is a time coming of God. We are so close to it. And we are in need to be ready for this time of God, this move of God. And he says, you need to be teachers, not grown-up pacifier-sucking milk drinkers. God says there's... Me too. God has some hard things to say to us in this season. He has some hard things to say, like, your son's going to have a stroke. That's hard, God. Why? This baby's going to suffer and go through terrible things. Why? That's hard to hear, God. At the moment you want to stand up and be glorified, I'm telling you to sweep floors. That's hard to hear, God. I called you to start a church and now there's nobody coming. That's hard to hear, God. You think you know what God wants, and you probably do. But you know what? He also said that a seed has to die and fall in the ground before it brings life. Death of a vision. Everything you thought God wanted you to do, now it seems like it's not working. Because it looks like everything opposite happened. It did. It's the testing time of your faith. But there's a time coming. We need to be ready to believe God against what we see, believe God in spite of what bad is happening, hanging on to the kingdom of Jesus, and the things of this life grow dim, don't they, Rick? Yeah, let me get the mic from Nate.
Well, it's like the prophecies that we've gotten for the years is we are going to go through pain through the first part of this year, and we're
right.
Starting those pains.
Yeah, and I'm so glad they're first, because that means the good stuff comes later. But you know what? We're not to be choking on this meat. We're being fed some meat right now. We don't need to choke on the meat and spit it out. We need to chew it.
Right.
We need to chew it, get all the nourishment out of it that we can. Salt it and flavor it up and chew it. 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised. If you don't experience anything, you don't exercise your faith, you don't grow up. You've gone through things, you've exercised faith, you've seen heartache and hurt and not understanding, but in the end, seeing the goodness of God. Exercise your faith in the hard times and grow up. They have exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, that jumped out to me, because when bad things happen, babies say, where is God? Why would God let that happen? Why did God kill my son? Why did God make me sick? Why do we blame God for evil? You know, all these evil things are happening. Satan's the prince of this world, prince of the power of the air, and our sin gives him license. Now, where is God in that? He didn't do it. Satan did it, and most of the time we give him the license to do it.
Right.
Our fault, Satan's fault. Why do we blame God, who is the hope and the mercy of forgiving the sin and wants to restore? He's the good part. Don't blame God when bad things happen. Exactly. And he wants to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness. But that happens when we see the light in the darkness and no light from darkness. Grown-up Christians begin to see the goodness of God in everything, not blaming God for anything. Sin is not his fault. Evil is not his fault. Next point, let's manifest Jesus. Let's show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. It's all because of him, and it's all about him. That's all over the wall up there, if you see where I'm reading from. Show them Jesus. Excerpts from John the Baptist in John chapter 1. Jesus, verse 15, he is preferred before me. Jesus is preferred before me. Is he preferred before you, or are you showing people you? I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. Who's getting the glory when I start your sentence? Unless you're saying, I depended on Jesus and look what he did. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. I'm not him. If something powerful or good happened, he did it, not me. Make straight the way of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. These are things John the Baptist said. Make straight the way of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. Point to Jesus. John 17. I love John 17. I wish we could just live in John 17 right now. Just give you a few things I like. But I want to encourage you to read John 17. Read it, because in it, he prays for you. He prays for you to be one with him, just like he's one with his Father. That's how he's going to live in us, the same way. Jesus said in John 17 a few things I want to hang on to. He said, the hour is come. Glorify your Son that he may glorify you. Now, what happened right after that? What hour was he talking about? Time to be crucified. So when the hour comes for God to be glorified in you, it means time for you to be crucified so that God gets some glory. I die daily. I die, but the life I now live, I live in Christ. You know, I die so he lives, more of him, less of me. time for crucifixion that God gets glorified, a higher cause than any personal cause or need or desire, His cause. Eternal life is to know God experientially, personally, relationally as your daddy. He said, I have manifest your name to the men you gave me. Who has he put in your life? Who has he given you? Manifest his name to them. Now, we look at that and I go, yes, here's my room full of people God gave me. You who want to be his ministers. But he also gave me that, I'm speaking metaphorically, there isn't one, that nasty neighbor who gets on my nerves, parks in my spot, and hits my mailbox. He put them in my life too. He gave them to me. What do I do with them? Jesus said, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. These guys are in the world. And then he prays for us, and he sets us apart to truth. He says, be different than others. Get a hold of these truths that I give you. Let me send you. And when I don't send you, pray for the one I do send. Be one with Jesus. He said, I and them, Father, you and me, that they may be made perfect, completed in Christ, that we could behold his glory. Father, this is what we want, to manifest Christ, to let your glory be seen. Quicken your words. Quicken your life in us, through us, to others. Let us see things in eternal measurements, not in just what's going on in this short-term life on earth. We put this message in the hands of your Holy Spirit, and we ask you to breathe life into us, that we can be your corporate body and learn how to support one another as we release you. Thank you, Jesus.